This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and I recently decided to give Sterling Soap Company's Ground Breakfast Blend coffee a try. While brewing, the aroma was inviting, and the taste? Lightly sweet and delicious, as the texture of this amazing coffee was sweet and smooth, as I experienced a coffee with a velvety texture, almost creamy. Sterling's breakfast blend is light but in no way weak, with a high quality taste and smell. My wife and I are now hooked on Sterling Soap coffee, and you should be too. Check out their coffees and other products at sterlingsoap.com. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com.
When was the 100th anniversary of the game of football? Perhaps the football archaeologist Timothy P. Brown knows.
So, as you said, we're going to be talking about football's 100th anniversary, which was mistakenly celebrated in 1969. 1969, they played a soccer-ish game with 25 players per side, blah, blah, blah. But I've only come to that belief in the last few years myself. So, you know, I forgive those who have not yet converted to the 1876 as the start of football.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another Tuesday where we get to go and visit with our friend Timothy P. Brown of FootballArchaeology.com. He's going to share with us a story as we celebrate this week of 1969 of football history. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren. Good to chat. And last week I asked you a quiz, and going to ask you another little quiz this time.
I hope it's just as easy as last week. Well, I don't know too many things.
We'll see how smart you are. You got it right the last time. So
why do I feel like I'm getting set up for a trick question here?
No, I wouldn't do that to you.
Won't be another Captain Obvious question.
So, as you said, we're going to be talking about football's 100th anniversary, which was mistakenly celebrated in 1969. But do you know why this particular podcast is special?
Well, I think it's probably a big historic number of your visits to our thing. So I'm guessing probably 200, maybe?
It is number 200.
Okay. All right. Well, that is quite a milestone. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah.
Most people don't want to have 200 conversations with me, so
yeah. Well, you're assuming that I did, and
I wanted to. I'm glad I send those drugs to your wife that she puts in your coffee in the morning, so you don't realize what's going on until it's too late.
Yeah. So, anyways, congratulations, and this is our bicentennial podcast.
There you go. So. I can't wait to hear this one. This is going to be a good one here.
Yeah. You know, this one, like, I mean, I remember this one, you know, the 1969 season. And so, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, I've said many times, you know, like it, for me, you know, different people disagree on when American football started. For me, it's 1876 when they created the first rule book and formed the Intercollegiate Football Association. 1969, they played a soccer-ish game with 25 players per side, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, but I've only come to that belief in the last few years myself. So, you know, I forgive those who have not yet converted to the 1876 as the start of football.
But before you get started in the story, you just brought up something. Okay, so I do not remember the 1969. I was only like 2 years old.
Yeah.
But were they celebrating the 100th anniversary of football? Was it something that was like put in newspapers or maybe said in during a game on TV or something?
Yeah. No. So it was supposed to be a big deal. It actually kind of fizzled. So like the NCAA planned this big thing and, you know, and it was, again, the 100th anniversary of the Princeton-Rutgers games. But, I mean, they did stuff like in June, they named this woman as the National Centennial Queen, you know, like the queen of the fair, or, you know, you know, whatever, you know, those, like the queen of the county fair. She was, you know, that kind of,
The title that they gave her, that's hard to put on one of those sashes. That's a lot of words to put on there.
Yeah, well, it's just use small letters. So, you know, but they had pretty, you know, pretty significant plans. They had all these different schools got centennial flags. Now, you know, I don't know if they had to pay for them or what. Each school got 22 medallions to give to their, you know, essentially their starting varsity players. And at the time, the NCAA had like 423 schools. So that included, you know, what's now Division III, you know, 2 and 1. There was, you know, postage, USPS issued a postage stamp in celebration. And then, you know, one of the big deals was that they were going to have every team to, instead of having their normal logo or in addition to their normal logo, they would wear these stickers on their helmet that was like a football shape, and it said 100, and, you know, inside the shape of the football. And so there were teams that some teams didn't wear them at all. There were teams like, you know, Texas had the sticker above the Longhorns, you know, the Longhorns horns. There were teams that wore them on the front of the helmet. There were teams that wore them on the back of the helmet. So it was kind of all over the place. And then like Navy didn't wear the sticker, but they all wore, you know, what, you know, are not called TV numbers, right? And those were much more popular in the late 50s and early 60s, you know, like the Alabama numbers on the side of the helmet. Mm-hmm. So everybody wore 100 on the side of their helmets. So it was just one of those things where I don't know if I suspect it was just a combination of things like, you know, Vietnam and, you know, their assassinations in the 60s and, you know, and several in 68. And so I just think the mood of the country wasn't there, you know, to celebrate 100 years of football, you know? And so it wasn't anything like that the NCAA screwed up. It was just like it just never gathered enthusiasm. And so I don't really have any sense of how many teams wore them, you know, wore those numbers on their helmets, but a lot of them, you know, either never wore them. They'd wear them only for certain games, maybe certain uniform combinations. They wear them for home games or away games or whatever. So it's kind of all over the map. But the whole thing just never really, you know, got that, you know, really took off. And you may remember that probably 2 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago, there was a series of like a cartoon series that published in 1969 that ran, I think it started before the season, but then ran throughout the season, more or less, you know, a cartoon every decade. Mm-hmm. And then like I did a series showing the cartoon, you know, or cartoons, cause I think there were multiple, maybe two a week or something like that, but it just went through the history of the game from, you know, 1869 to 1969. So that was kind of cool. So, I mean, it's not like the NCAA was all alone. You know, these were syndicated articles appearing in newspapers all over the place. So, you know, so there's a lot of stuff going on, but just never really took off.
That's kind of a shame. I guess maybe they, if it would have been more like today with social media and, you know, people are on the internet and, you know, a little bit more, you know, ESPNs of the world and things like that and pregame shows, maybe it would have been a little bit better, but really they only had, you know, you had your newspaper and radio and TV when the game came on, you know, back then.
Well, you know, but if they followed my direction, they could be wearing 150 on their helmets this season. Right.
Yeah. There you go.
2026 is the 150th anniversary of football. So, you know, I don't know.
I thought maybe you were going to try to take some credit, like in 1976, when a lot of the NFL teams were wearing the bicentennial patches, that maybe they messed up by 100 years and to go on your timeline of.
No,
Football. Okay.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay. All right. Well, Tim, you know, this is another one of those instances where, you know, most of us would just pass right by 1969 as far as that, you know, of being an anniversary of the game of football that some people celebrated. We would think more, you know, the New York Jets winning Super Bowl III or, you know, Man on the Moon and all kinds of things that happened in 1969, you know, the riots and protests and everything else from the war. But you go and you grab this piece of relevance to football history, which really is a milestone in itself, even if, you know, people don't agree that that is 100 years. And you do this a lot with your tidbits. Maybe you could share with people how they can participate in those.
Yep. Just go to footballarchaeology.com. It's a Substack site. If you subscribe, you'll get an email from me every time that I publish a story. Otherwise, you can bookmark it. You can also follow on Substack. That assumes you want to use Substack's app. And that's kind of like, you know, following somebody on Twitter, you know, Facebook or whatever. Yeah. So, you know, kind of whatever floats your boat, have at it.
All right. Well, Tim, we really appreciate you coming here and sharing this story, and appreciate having you back next week to tell another tale from football's past.
Yes, it'll be a tall one, I'm sure.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude. And I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you got to do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.